Matthew chapter 20. Let's do a little review.
Yeah.
Let's find the scripture first. And let's do some review real quick. Okay. So, the kingdom of heaven is like this. This is how the kingdom works. Alright? It's like a man that's a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Okay, this worked real well in the prison. And I'll tell you why. But just review, let's pick out the elements. One, the householder. The man. Probably represents the Lord. Two, you got the laborers. Probably represents us. Got believers, right? Laborers. You got a reward. You get paid for this. Got it? Mm-hmm. Good. You got a vineyard. Place, the world, place where you're going to get to work and produce a harvest, all right? And the kingdom of heaven is like this story. All right.
Yes. They have an agreement, which is which is our salvation.
Forgot. Yes. Before, that was the most important thing out of verse 1 and 2. All right, I missed that. I'm in a hurry. Stop rushing me out. All right, so that's huge. Because before you go to work in the vineyard, you must have an agreement or a relationship with the man. All right, and we talked about that. I think we talked about that last week. Can you go to the vineyard without a relationship? Yes, you can, but you're not working for the man, you're working for yourself, and the danger, thank you, Earl, the danger is you might mess something up, or he doesn't know you. And we talked about the sheep and the goats, and this parable just really brought it home to me.
Well, and at the very least, there's no eternal value at all in it.
No, it's just you. It's just temporal. And you might mess up. How many people do we know are messed up because of church folk?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I got three giggles and four smiles. Okay. Yeah. And it's because they've lost that relationship, or that covenant relationship is not there at that moment for what they're signing up for. All right? I still remember when I was in the Air Force out in South Dakota, I signed up for Big Brothers, Big Sisters. I did not have a relationship with God when I did it. I was only doing it because I was trying to get promoted. And I messed up that young kid, and then they fired me. And the only job I really got fired from, everything else got downsized. I got fired from, you know. And I was happy when they fired me because I had already done what I needed to do in order to get it on my record that I was a volunteer. So, and then the whole sheep-goat thing, but we did this for you, Lord, and we did this for you, and we worked this, and we did that. Depart from me. I never knew you. I don't know you. So you have to have a relationship before you go into the field, or you're going to mess something up. Two! Oh, wait a minute. Here's the other thing. Have you ever done something for somebody that you just thought offhand was just the right thing to do? Have you ever done something for somebody that you just thought was the right thing to do, and then all of a sudden it comes back and you're like, I shouldn't have done that. Uh-huh. Yeah, all right. And so the question is, did the man tell you to do that?
Yeah.
Yes. All right. So you got to have that agreement. You got to have that covenant agreement. You got to have that relationship with the man. All right. And then the other thing was, there are those who are asked, which is going to get into the next parable. There are those who are asked to work in the vineyard, and they know to work in the vineyard. They may agree to work in the vineyard, but they never show up in the vineyard. And the kingdom of heaven does not work like that either. All right? So, everybody's got a work to do. All right. There we go. Okay, now. And we also talked about, as Roger mentioned, again, review. There's phases of God's plan. First, you have phase 1 of the feast, those first 4 steps. First, you have your relationship with God set, and you're led by the Spirit, and then you go work in the vineyard. Please do not try to attempt to work in the vineyard and deal with other folk before you've had time to spend with God, or else you're going to get frustrated. You are going to be frustrated. All right? Okay. Verse 3, and he went out about the third hour. That would have been about 9 o'clock a.m. He saw others standing idle in the marketplace. So now we got another element that we included here. The marketplace. What happens in the marketplace? It's the place where you find a loss. You trade. There is exchange there. All right? And he said, go ye also into the vineyard. Whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. He goes through the same process. They got the same deal. They got the relationship. They go. The only other thing that we're adding here is idle. Marketplace and idle. What does it mean to be idle in the story? Just standing around and not doing the work in the vineyard. Mm-hmm. Anybody ever had some idle time as a believer? Of course. All right.
Chef, let me ask you one question then.
Yes, sir.
Like I said, the relationship, it also could be that these people, to me, this represents the different times. It's how people are saved at different times in their life. It's the age-wise. He never stops seeking help. And he never stops seeking a relationship. Some of these, and I'm looking at it, there's two ways to look at it. Like you said, that these people are, we're already saved and we're not doing the work, but they're not saved, and he's going out and finding them to get a relationship with them.
Yep.
And to me, it's the only true form of evolution is when a goat turns into a sheep.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, I like the last verse in this 20, for those who are last now will be first.
Yeah. Well,
what he's saying that.
Well, see, that, you know, I've been around Roger enough and heard his story. He went to the vineyard a little late in life.
Right.
And there's some different opinions in the commentaries on this one, but the one I like is the one that he described. And I think both of them are true, because the essence is this is God's grace that's on display here. But I like the example of, because we're going to get into this a little bit later, which type of laborer are you? And when I, so when I look at it, I know his story, because he shared his story with us. When I look at it, well, since he opened it up, they're coming at different times of the day. And as we get closer into the parable, we're going to see how that works. They're coming at different times of the day. So as we go through this, you have to kind of, thank you, Roger, you have to kind of figure out which laborer group are you? Are you the early morning? Are you the first one he called? Or is it a little later in the day when he calls you? And for me, regardless of what the commentary said, for me personally, I resonate with that. Because I found the Lord at 13. But then, you know, I went to college and there went that. I really didn't pick this up until in my 20s, mid-20s. Yeah. About 25, 26, you know, in South Dakota, because you got nothing to do out there. Either you're going to drink like a fish and just party hardy, you know, because idleness had caused you to be doing some crazy stuff, or you're going to find the Lord in the Black Hills. And I found the Lord in the Black Hills after my party, my first year. I spent 2 years in South Dakota. First year, I partied, you know, party hardy. And the second year, I'm like, I can't go out like this.
Hey,
Susan.
This is Susan.
I found mine too.
Did not become a believer until he was 75, 76 years old.
Yeah, my dad too. My dad was in church. My dad was a trustee in church for years. And we went through the whole evangelism thing here. And, you know, I'm like, well, I'm going to practice on my dad. I'm like, do you know for sure that you have ever? I don't know. I hope so. I think so. I mean, you're not sure? You've been a trustee in the church and you're not sure you're going to go to heaven? I'm like, oh, we got to fix that. And he was in his 70s. So, Susan, yeah. I like what Roger's saying, and I resonate with that. Yes?
I remember my mom was 85 years old, and she she's gone now, but I remember she's really Catholic. She uh-huh. was Catholic. Yeah. I remember she said to me one time, she said, you know, I don't know if I'm good enough to go to heaven.
Wow, yeah.
And sure. I went, you know,
we can fix that right now. Yeah, your works don't get you in. Which again goes back to the review where you working in the vineyard first is not going to get you in heaven because it's not a works thing. You got to have a relationship with God. All right? A right relationship. And then by faith, you do the works. Because faith without the works is dead. But you don't do the works first. It's out of order. It's out of order. All right. Verse 5, again, he went out about the 6th and the 9th and did likewise. I see process here. He goes through the same process. Praise God, he goes through the same process. All right? It's that same 7-step feast process. The same process. The kingdom works like this. It is the same process. So I'm over at Cloverdale trying to figure out how to revive a dying church.
You can't figure that out. Only God can.
But I can figure this out. What's the plan?
Yeah.
And so I'm going through each of these steps with the congregation as we start to plan things out. Today we're going to be preaching on crossing over the Red Sea and the Feast of First of Fruits. So they have new hope that God is in this. And whatever God did for the children of Israel in Egypt and getting them ready for their new season, that's our plan we're going with. I don't know. Moses throws the staff down and it turns into something. He runs from it. And God says, pick it up because you're going to be able to use this to get yourself into the next season. I have no idea what it's going to look like, but I'm throwing it down. And God is going to do what he needs to do at Cloverdale. But got to get them lined up with the plan first.
Amen.
All right? They got to understand the steps. Yep. Oh, thank you, Sandra. So all I know is the word. So all I got is his promises in the word. All right. So the process works. And he just keeps doing the process. And what my point here is, the same process that we're talking about here, the same process by which we got saved and we are the church, it's the same process that we as the church needs to do. So we need to get back, Cloverdale, needs to get back to, hey, we're not here to just have church to preserve this thing, so all we're doing, oh, we want to be able to show up and just have church. You got to go to the vineyard. So we need to get back to the purpose of which we were doing in the first place when this place was vibrant, which is
go on
get your butt in the vineyard, all right? But you got to get them prepared before they go to the vineyard, or else they'll go to the vineyard crazy. And we will never grow like that, or we'll just be, you know, it's great. So we got to go through the steps. All right. Verse 6, about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. And he said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? What are you doing here? Why are you there? He asked them the question. And this is why this works real well for the prisoners. Oh, first you got to remember, the 11th hour. There's only 12 hours in the day. The Jewish day.
Oh, okay.
This represents almost the end.
Yes!
I mean, you know, the 11th hour means, oh, we're almost at the end.
So,
out of time.
So, Roger, let me play on that. Think about the thief on the cross.
11th hour.
11th hour. You got it?
I heard a testimony on Caleb yesterday or the day before about somebody being on hospice and not knowing the Lord and crying out at the 11th hour, you know?
The 11th hour. Now, God forbid that, but hey.
Is that God for hospice workers?
But see, here's the thing. It's the kingdom. The kingdom operates like this.
Which means if God calls me to do something, I can't wait till the 11th hour to say yes. I need to be the first worker in line, ready to say yes.
I want to be the first worker.
God called me to do.
But there's a caution even in that.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
So, and, you know, I was going to, but I like what I like what Paul said last week. He said he had a really good time just talking about this. So I think I just want to kind of talk about this, and we'll go through it as quickly as we need to. But there's some things here that really got me. All right, here we go. New stuff. He asked him a question. Why are you standing here all the day idle? And I guess that's a question. We don't have to answer it, but we might want to ask ourselves.
We're doing it now. Just sitting there.
Are we just going to church, or are we in the vineyard? You don't have to answer to me. The question is still relevant today for us as believers. We're going through the motions. I'm not saying don't go to worship. That's part of the relationship thing. But after church is over, and that's one of the things I want to do at Cloverdale. I want to create those opportunities where people have a vineyard to go in and work. It ain't about preserving your worship time. We're not going to grow if you don't get to the vineyard. So
we all have our own relationship with him, and we all have our own vineyard. Well, I'm just saying.
Well, that vineyard is where he has assigned us to go work.
See where he's working and join him.
Yep. Can I throw something in here? I'm going to have to leave in a few minutes because my son is preaching at his church in Elizabethtown, Kentucky.
Oh, there you go. Go zoom in on him.
So just please remember him when y'all close in prayer.
Okay.
I have to watch it on Facebook, but I'm really excited for him. It's not the first time he's preached, but he's preaching this morning. So
good. Excellent. Excellent. Yep. Okay, yeah, he's going to the vineyard. All right. All right, verse 7. They say unto him, because no man has hired us. So they had to answer. Question. Why do you think, what are some of the reasons why nobody has hired them?
They don't have a relationship.
Because nobody's gone out there to get hired. In the vineyard.
Maybe nobody went out there to go find them.
Right, that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, maybe nobody went. Okay. Now think about this in the natural. That's what the parable is. About thinking about it in the natural. Nobody, they're showing up at the marketplace and nobody has hired them. And they've been standing there for a little while, idle. All right? Maybe because nobody's asked them until now. Got it. Sandra, you're going to ready to say something.
Well, I don't know. I thought maybe they just got there.
Maybe they did, but they're standing idle. Well, wait a minute. Sandra, you just pointed something out. It says, "Why stand ye here all the day?"
Okay.
They didn't just get there. Good point. Thank you, Sandra. I need to point that out. I didn't have that in my notes. So they've been standing. Okay. Think about this. Oh, my God. This just opened it up. Think about it in the natural. You go to the marketplace. You go to wherever the day laborers are. I think they probably still have a place around here where the day laborers are. And somebody's going and you're picking the people out of that parking lot, out of that marketplace that you want to use to go and work for you. And these dudes have been sitting there all day in the marketplace. Why would they not have been, what are some of the reasons why they may not have been chosen earlier?
They hadn't entered into the agreement.
Maybe they didn't enter into the agreement. If you were the person who was going to hire folk and you saw all these folk there, and you might bypass some of them. Why might you bypass some and pick others?
Because you have a preference.
Because you got a preference.
Like picking teams on the playground.
Like picking teams on the playground. Oh, keep talking to me. Keep talking to me.
Picking teams on how they look.
Absolutely.
How strong they are.
Come on now. Keep talking now. Keep talking.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just asking. In the natural. In the natural. I'm just asking the question.
Where is the owner? The owner is not there.
He's not there.
He has to show up.
Right.
Okay. Well, he's been coming.
But they're sitting there idle. And when I say idle, their spirit is idle. I mean,
he's asking the question. I'm looking at it in the natural.
Okay.
And then be able to discern the spirit. Now, wait, there might be more than one avenue here. I'm just asking, in the natural, what are some of the reasons why somebody who showed up might still be idle? Look at what he's saying. Why stand ye here all day idle? They said to him, because no man has hired us. Paul?
Well, it could be that, and we've been to some churches where you walk in and nobody says squat to you.
Amen.
And, you know, you're going, well, what's the deal here? You know, do I have a third head or something like that?
So.
Yeah, but see, when he said that, they did show up at church. These guys are just standing around.
In the marketplace, in the place where you trade. So. The availability was there, though, because the man keeps coming out there, all right? So I'm not blaming this on the man. I'm looking at this from the perspective of the guys who've been standing out there waiting to work. It could be a bunch of different reasons in the natural why they didn't get picked. I remember when I was a young kid and I was playing on the baseball team, and we were beating the snot out. I was just happy to be on the baseball team. And we were beating the snot out of some team, and I didn't start because I had just learned how to play baseball, so I sucked. And the coach turned around to look to see
who
was going to choose to fill in, because this was cleanup time, and so I was going to be able to. And he looked at me, and I looked at him, and I started.
Look at the other one.
Look at the other one.
I got you, man.
I hate that. And he looked at me, shook his head, and picked somebody else. And I was happy.
Yep.
Still had a uniform.
Still on the team.
Still on the team. Now, think about this in the national. Maybe they're idle because they wanted to be idle.
Right. That's what Dina said.
Kind of leaning more toward it. But how about this? You got to read, because I taught this first at the prison. It resonated with them. Because you know one of their fears getting ready to come out of prison is?
What am I going to do?
What am I going to do? Who's going to hire me? Because they're going to see my record. And I might be passed over. This goes back to what Paul said back with his Chamber of Commerce example about not being a hypocrite. Here's one. I got you, Carolyn. Hold on. Calling that thought. Don't lose it. I was out with Cloverdale having, they have every bi-monthly Monday they show up at, not Perkins, whatever the heck it is. Chappies. So we had a fellowship meal at Chappies or whatever, and when we ended, and we're talking about next season, what we're going to do, we need to get started, blah, 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 God's going to take us to, you know, getting them ready.
Excited.
Yeah, getting excited. They're excited. While we're in the parking lot talking after this great fellowship, hopeful about the church, some dude comes up with his kid and he says, hey, do you have a few dollars? And I'm with a couple other folk and, you know, they all said no. I started processing and they looked at me and they were like, you're thinking about whether you want to give them something. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just not feeling it in the spirit right now. I'm just thinking. I don't know. And I watched this dude. You know what never came to my mind? And I had these Cloverdale business cards made up. You know what I miss? You know what never came to my mind? To hire him to work in the vineyard. To invite him to have a relationship with God. Question! How come that didn't pop in my mind right away?
He
wasn't the kind of guy that I really wanted to recruit to come in and work in the church. I needed workers. But my prejudice had me, he was a black guy too, my prejudice had me thinking I really need a different kind of structure, stature, whatever. I need a worker. I need somebody with better resources. I'm looking for something else. Come on now. Think about this.
We all do it.
Do we all do it?
Do that.
But I missed it. And maybe that's another reason. There could be a vibe. I agree with Roger. I think part of your idleness is because that's because of you. But some of this is because nobody hired them because they don't look like somebody that I want in my field, working for me, or sitting next to me in church. I'm sorry, I did not go through this. This is not in my notes. I did not expect to talk about this. This is Paul's fault because he said he wanted to have more dialogue.
What's wrong with that?
With the dialogue?
Yeah.
Shut up, Al. Carolyn, what do you got? Yes.
But I am not bold, and I'm reticent sometimes thinking to step out and say, I don't know that I can do that as good as them. And it may be that it took to the 11th hour for them to be emboldened to say, I can do this.
Okay. The other thing is, and we'll see it in another parable, if I feel uncomfortable going into the field, I can at least invest in those who do. Sir?
Chuck, a few years back here at Von Forest, yeah. This is over 10 years ago, I was a greeter.
Yeah.
And it was cold, it was February.
Yeah.
And there was a fellow standing outside, a long trench coat on, and he was finishing his cigarette, dreadlocks, you know.
Yeah.
He comes in, and I said, hey, you know, how you doing? Are you here for the service? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, I'll get you in, you know, where you can sit. And I kind of was looking at how other people
right.
were looking. And, you know, sometimes actions speak louder than words.
Right.
And it was like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
You know, what's he doing here?
Why were they him and
that? Yeah, why is he coming to this church?
He might have a start off shotgun up in that coat. You know, what's in that trench coat?
Under the trench
yeah.
coat.
Well, this is,
before
I wasn't even thinking about what was under the trench coat. The guy came in, I'm here to worship.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here to go to service.
Right.
And I said, fine, I'll get you inside, you know. And these folks were looking at like he's different. What's he doing?
Oh, I think that's
I'm a little late, but late better than no.
Hey there.
That's right.
Hey, Mac, how you doing?
Doing good. All
right. Yeah. All right. So we got a little interlude here. Because I've been meaning to call Mac or whatever. That's great. So Mac's here. He caught and dialed in a little late, and somebody said it's the 11th hour. but see, here's the thing. And this is how the kingdom works. 11th hour, not too late.
Showed up, but he never came back.
Never, I wonder why he didn't come back. Didn't have to, you know, I'm not going to put that blame on Von Forrest or whatever. No, I'm not. But it does prompt the question of, I wish I saw that dude in the parking lot at Chappie's over at Carmichael again. I would respond differently.
I just hate it when you miss opportunities.
I hate when I miss opportunities. However, back to the parable, he keeps coming back, which means I keep getting more opportunities to fix this the next time around. I don't want to use it as an excuse, but I'm not going to let my previous failures hinder me from going forward. I missed it that time, but I'm going to be more sensitive to it the next time because that's how the kingdom works. And that's the application of the story.
We judge people and we don't even know anything about them.
Right.
And when we've been in our witness,
yeah,
we can't look at a person and make a decision about that person and we don't even know him.
Right.
Christ. When you being a witness for Christ, you got to set all that kind of stuff aside. Or you'll never be able to witness.
You know.
Unfortunately, the world is forcing us to be, as was said earlier, you know, he didn't know what was under his trench coat.
Oh, now you got to use some common sense. God bless you with common sense. If I see you and I don't know who you are and you look kind of, I got level for it. Now I'm looking for discernment. If you pop off and do something crazy, I'm going to jump on you.
Well,
you know.
We have to rely on the Holy Spirit for that.
And you do.
There's a fine line between judgment and discernment.
Yes. 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 So you got to be careful. You got to be cautious.
Discernment's not going to come at the moment.
But I can still be cautious and concerned and loving. And even as I was just thinking about this on my way here, I'm like, you know, I see these homeless people out here. Now, you guess they say they're homeless. So, you know. And I'm like, would I ever invite one to come to church? After seeing this, I think I would. Now, I might bring a spray can of stuff with me or whatever, because, you know, I can't have you reeking of.
Oh.
You know. I might spray down a little bit. Yeah, you know.
Maybe that's your purpose, Chuck.
To spray them down? I don't know. But this is what this is telling me. And again, what is this red stuff here?
You've been bleeding on your work?
Is that on the television?
I don't know what it is.
I think it's on the television screen.
I might have did something. Who knows? All right, we'll figure it out when I reboot. All right. Anyway, let's keep going. Got 15 minutes. I got to leave a little early today. This really just messed me up. Okay. All right. So he said to them, "Go ye into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive." All right. He keeps repeating the same process as I'm looking at some of my notes here. Now, you got to realize the last group only works for an hour. Now, here we go. I have no idea what those red squiggly. So when even was come, this is after the work day is over with, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, introducing another person here, "Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first." Right. Again, this goes back to what Al was saying. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. All right. "And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour," only worked an hour,
5 o'clock.
They received, yes, 5 o'clock. "They received every man a penny." Inflation. So don't worry about what that means today. All right. "But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more." There might be a reason why he waits for them to come last. All right. "And they likewise received every man a penny." Now, look closely at verse 10. The last group goes through first, and they're watching. Here you go. They're watching to see what they get. They got a penny. In their mind, I'm with them on this. In their mind, logically, they're going, "Whoa,
we should have gotten more."
Well, no, we're about to get more.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if they only worked an hour and got a penny, and we've been here all day, oh, shoot. We about to get blessed. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
It is logical to me. I would be expecting the same thing.
But you go back to verse 4.
Ain't no but. It's
but in the kingdom of God, if you can figure it out logically in your brain, it usually ain't God.
Well, our logic, which God blessed us with, is not always how the kingdom operates. Because this is how the kingdom operates. All right. "But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny." So they got that same reward. Verse 11. "And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house." What caused them to start complaining? Let me keep reading. "And the reason why they murmured is saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us, which have borne the burden of the heat of the day." You got to look at this. They get out there the first hour, and the temperature, you've been in Alabama long enough, that temperature starts ratcheting it up. And by the time these rascals show up at the 11th hour, things will cool down a little bit. And I get it. I'm with these dudes. Wait a minute now. We've been out here for a long time in this field, and these rascals coming in here getting the same reward that we're getting?
That's not fair.
It ain't fair. It's not like my grandkids. This ain't fair. And it ain't fair. And I will tell you, as God is my witness, full of the Holy Spirit, I hope, this is not fair. This story is not fair.
God did not promise us
fair. Life is your
gift. Well, I know life ain't fair, but this story ain't fair. These people are getting gypped. Anyway. All right.
They were getting what they're told they were
going to
get.
Yeah. I know they're getting what they're told, but they should have got.
They
had a contract.
They had a contract.
Yeah. What he said.
I know.
They agreed.
I know they agreed, but still it just seems like they should have got more. Carolyn, stop looking at me like that.
Yeah. So they're walking in faith for many, many years, and then you have the person who, in the 11th hour, accepted Christ, and they both get to go to heaven. It doesn't matter how long you believe.
Yeah, there you go.
You were getting the same promise that he was on me, just like the 9 words that the thief said on the cross. I mean, he said 9 words, and he was able to enter heaven. The same
nine.
I know.
Nine.
Good for him. But I should get more.
You want your extra. Yeah.
But you're not God.
How's it start off? For the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven is not worldly. It's spirit.
But I've been doing this spirit-led work.
It doesn't matter.
You should be happy for it.
But in the natural, we would all feel like Chuck does.
That's my point. That's my point. Thank you, Sandra, for your comment.
Feel don't matter. The kingdom of God is, no matter what time you get saved in your life, you're saved just like someone who was saved early.
Look here. Roger didn't come to the Lord till late in life. Mm-hmm. I'd be doggone if Roger gets more reward than I get.
No.
I've been doing this for a long time.
No.
All right, now look at this. I'm not going to rush this. I got to leave in about 5 minutes. But I'm not going to rush this. But here's the thing. These dudes were doing fine in the vineyard, and they were doing the work of the Lord. What has set them off? Because all you guys are shaking your heads at me and blah blah blah. I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate here. And Lauren, like you said, look at my first bullet. They make an assumption. Logical assumptions are not always spiritually accurate when it pertains to the kingdom.
Amen. I can't
really go.
All right. Now, Hancock always teaches us if you can get your paper out and you can write out what to do logically, you better wad it up and throw it in the trash can because it probably is not God.
Yep. You can use your logic, I understand, but you can't make your decisions based on logic. Notice this. The murmuring doesn't start until they take their focus off of their work and they look at somebody else. Peter, what about that guy? What about this? What about that guy? Would you worry about that guy? Yeah. Why are they upset? They thought they deserved more pay and a greater reward because they work longer in the field, and that seems logical to me.
You hit a good point. When they take their focus off their work.
Yes.
And that happens in the workplace so much.
Yep.
When people start focusing on what their coworker is doing versus what they need to be doing.
Exactly. And just like it works in the natural, in business, marketplace, it works like this in the kingdom. They were okay with the good man of the house at first. Why did they start to complain? Because they focused on what others had received who worked less time than them. They had a problem with the amount of reward and payment given. They would probably not have been a complaint if the good men paid them more than the last workers. I don't care what you do for them, just give me more.
Just got their eyes on the wrong thing.
But then here it is. They thought they were better and not equal. They thought they were better and not equal to the ones who came late. Think about this in today's terms. Parable analysis. There are five groups. Question. We already talked about thief on the cross. Which of the laborer groups do you think that you might be in? We're not going to be able to finish up with the answer, but he asked them a series of questions. But let me just get stuck on something here, because I kind of fell prey to this. Teaching at the prison. I've been doing that for over 20 years, long time. All of a sudden, one of those rascals who just got saved comes up and has a word from the Lord. They get out of prison, they start a ministry, and it starts to blow up. They're going to come give me a word. Are you crazy? And I got to watch myself. Because I might think that I'm better than them because I've been doing this longer than them. And I've taken my eyes off of what I was doing. And now I'm looking at them and I start to ask myself, why is this guy's ministry getting bigger than mine? Here's one from my military experience. I used to teach ROTC. I was an ROTC commander. And I'm teaching cadets how to become better officers and leaders or whatever. You know one of the reasons why I got out of the military? I mean, I got out of the military because the Lord opened up a door. So that's really... But I was happy to get out because the same people who I had commissioned were starting to catch up to me and pass me in rank. And I'm like, I ain't saluting you. And I ain't calling you sir.
You did such a good job.
And Paul, that's what was missing. Now, today on the other side of this, I'm looking at this going, they're like my kids.
Yeah.
I am happy. In fact, I want you to be blessed greater than me because my work, I'm just happy that I was in here first to pave the way so that God can bless you. In fact, I tell the inmates, your story and your ministry will be greater than mine because you've gone through more stuff and I'm expecting God to do greater things than you. And I'll just be like Naomi and just sit back and hold on and come and be able to enjoy and hold what God has blessed you with. Bless you. But it took me a little while to get to that point. And we got to be careful as church folk that we don't look at new believers and go, I deserve more than you. I'm better than you because I've been doing this longer. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. So this parable opens up a whole lot of other little stuff up in here. It's not just about when you get saved or whatever. But now we who have been here longest, come on. The son who stayed while the prodigal is out and they have a party and he's sitting back in the back going, how many times, how many Christians have done that? So, we're out of time. Al, remember that we left off at verse 13 because we got to figure out what we're going to say to ourselves to get past this. Well, I want to make sure I'm in the right group. And the sad thing about verse 13 is, and I haven't figured this one out yet, there's a whole group of them in that first group that are murmuring and complaining. Wow. But he only speaks to one out of that group, and I'm wondering why. You ain't going to figure it out today. Well, maybe you will. But we'll pick up at verse 13.